Bask in the days when we used to clap for things like that. Good morning. We're back, everybody. It's okay. We're here. We're here. I feel like I'm Auntie M reassuring Dorothy. We're here. We've been here. You got conked in the head, America, but we're here. Right. It's okay. I got your email and your messages. Where are you at? You been fired yet? Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, the variety of things. You know, I heard you mention something about a hospital. Are you okay? Is everyone all right? Are you coming back to work? We're here. We are here, ladies and gentlemen, for 2 days. We'll be here today and tomorrow, then off on Friday, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, and then Wednesday marks Dallas's last program with us.
Yep.
And I swear to God, I have no idea what's going to happen after that.
We were just talking about that. I said, nobody to train yet, huh? No.
I know I'm coming back on December 1st. I darn well might be alone.
It might be 3 hours of just you talking.
Show.
No commercials.
And about that hog report. Prices is up.
You're going to have to make your own sound. Let's go to traffic. Well, they're up in the traffic copter, Preston.
Yeah, it was the way it went when I was listening to guys do that on the radio was, oh, you know, traffic's moving pretty good. Of course, I'm over a parking lot right now. Anyway, welcome to the radio broadcast and all the nonsense known as the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Show number 4365, Wednesday, November the 18th. The verse of the day, Matthew 18:20, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Can I give you a simple little thing that I think you ought to do? And this is a for whatever it's worth, and only if you are prepared to live it out. Whenever you have a meal, yes, even in public, pray before you dine. Now, let's put some practicality to that advice. If you ever eat at a fast food restaurant, if ever there was a time, you ought to pray before you eat. It's right then and there. But it's an amazing thing what happens if when people see a family, just take a second and pray before they eat. Now, we join hands. It's just something we do in our family. If you're eating with us, you're joining hands with us. That's just how we roll. And we just put our hands out, and everyone goes, whoa, okay. All right. It's just what we do. But just think about that verse, though. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. nice reassurance, especially for a day like today, as in the day, the era that we are in. 10 minutes after the hour, let's get caught up. This date in history and more next as we ease into our short 2-day work week on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Tall? The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Well, okie dokie there. We have a good show today, as you would expect. A lot of things to talk about. There will be plenty that we don't talk about. You know, it just... The number of stories floating around that are filled with the potential of fraud and deceit and cheat. Folks, first of all, at this point in time, this is the recounting, and I've got a story on my blog page on the recount in Georgia and the joke that has become. And if you're listening to me in South Georgia, you ought to be embarrassed by what's happening in your state to the point that you make some phone calls. You know, this is doing a recount of a big vote like this is not easy. No one would ever suggest it is, but it's not complicated either. It's simple. And there's a difference. Easy, not necessarily. Simple, absolutely. Here's what you do. You have four people. You have someone counting. You have an independent auditor verifying every one of those counts. And you have someone from the Democrat Party and someone from the Republican Party representing the interests of Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I should say, on either side verifying what that auditor just said. And yes, it is painstaking. But what's happening now, for example, in Cobb County, I've got it on tape. Someone, an observer for the Trump campaign, and it's a joke. 2 minutes. Take 2 minutes of your time. And you can check it out on the blog page, website/Preston. WFLAFM.com/Preston. 94.5 WFLA.com/Preston. Simple as that. But I would never get to anything else. And honestly, I have to make a decision that I just don't think it's healthy for us to spend 3 hours talking about conspiracies. Nothing's going to be gained by it. Do I think the president has been jobbed at this point? Absolutely. I'm willing to let the legal process play itself out. And then we'll go from there. Well, it'll be too late then. Well, what do you think's going to happen now? Come on, Roy Rogers. Seriously, what do you think's going to happen if you get on your horse and start riding now? Nothing, because there's a legal process that has to play its way out. The state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania ruled against Trump. Big whoop. Like, that's a big surprise that the justices that engaged in judicial activism on the state level are going to say, well, we were wrong. Whoa, we were way wrong. No, that's not going to happen. It has to go to the United States Supreme Court, and then we'll see. In my opinion, that one's absolutely a guaranteed slam dunk win for the president because they violated the state constitution. They can't do that. No matter how badly they want to try, they're not allowed. So we'll see. This date in history, 1820, Captain Nathaniel Palmer becomes the first American to sight Antarctica. Woo! Can you imagine what that was like sailing in 1820?
After going through the Bering Straits, I'm sure it was a relief.
Antarctica.
I don't care. Going through the Bering Strait on a wooden ship.
That's north. This is south.
I know. Is it not the Bering Strait?
Yeah,
Bering's
up by Russia.
The Southern Sea.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Tip of, the tip of...
The Cape Horn.
Cape Horn, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Susan B. Anthony arrested in Rochester, New York for trying to vote in the presidential election earlier in the month, 1872. The urging of the railroads, United States divided into time zones in 1883. Battleship Maine is launched at Brooklyn Navy Yard, and Steamboat Willie, the first Mickey Mouse cartoon with sound, premieres on this date in 1928. And there you have it. We will update you on Operation Thanksgiving and more next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
Oh, my. 21, almost 22 minutes after the hour here on The Morning Show. I'm in my camo gear. Well, jacket. I got a camo jacket on today. I love this weather. Absolutely love it. I was home yesterday. My wife went to work. I stayed home all day just doing some stuff and threw open the double doors in the back into the screened room, opened up all the windows, and promptly dropped the temperature in the house to like 60 degrees. And I was loving it. I was walking around in shorts.
Oh, you're that person.
I am that person, brother. I am just all about cool weather. Mm. I can handle cold not as well as I did when I was younger. There is something to that acclimation thing. When you grow up in it, that's just what you're used to, so it's fine. But I can't say that I would be thrilled living in nonstop snow and blizzards and shoveling all that stuff and dealing with it, but give me cool, and oh, yeah, that's a very good thing. Very good thing. But we have very important matters here to tend to.
McRib Watch 2020.
We are 13 days away from the national release of the McRib, ladies and gentlemen, the tangy, sweet barbecue slathered pork shoulder, pickles and onions if you so choose, a wonderful roll, and it's just goodness on a bun. Just 13 days away.
McRib Watch 2020.
We keep our eye on the important things. You'll notice we develop themes for important things around here. Election recount. McRib Watch, friends. That's where the production team gets into high gear.
Mm-hmm.
Should we produce a special bed for the election?
Nah.
No. No. But did you hear about the McRib? Did you hear about the
McRib Watch 2020?
Yeah, it's a conditioning thing. Any time in the course of the broadcast that I say the word McRib, that's
McRib
just...
Watch.
It just plays. It's a special little system that it's cued by me saying the sandwich name. And so if I say Big Mac, no. If I say McGriddle, oh, see, it stopped itself. It heard the Mick, and then but when I say McRib, that's it. Production team labored hard over that. They spent minutes producing that.
That's right. Tens of seconds.
Tens of seconds. That's good. We are $1,500. We're probably less than $1,500 away from our goal. May I be bold? Let's get it done today so that I can announce tomorrow that it's done. That before Thanksgiving, we will have raised $10,000 to drill a village well for water. First time ever. We who have grown up with water at our disposal anytime we want, we turn on a hose, it's there. We turn on a faucet, it's there. This is a village in northwest Cambodia that has existed for hundreds, thousand years, I don't know. They've never had clean drinking water. They've never had clean water. ever. We're $1,500 away from making that happen. That village was assigned to us. We're the only ones giving to it. So if you can give, you'll get taken to the WFLA landing page. And when you click donate, it'll seem like you're just going to a generic donation for drilling a well. They're tracking that money to the penny. And as of 2 days ago, $8,430. So I'm guessing we're over $8,500 now. So let's do this. If you haven't given, $20 is what we're asking. But if you can do more and get us there faster, that would be awesome. But we want as many people as possible to take part. And just think, we're going to get phone calls, reports, video from that village when it happens. And you'll be able to say you played a role in that. And I just think that's awesome. And honestly, it's the antidote to what's going on in our culture today. We just need this. We need to do something good. So there you go. That's how we respond when things go weird in elections. We try to do something good. SamaritansPurse.org/WFLA.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You play ball like a girl.
On WFLA.
Little shout out this morning to Terry listening to the program from Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Up by Wexford.
He writes, ugh. 29 degrees this morning in Cranberry Township, PA. I hate winter.
Here's a little piece of trivia for you. He's from the same area of this here chunk of the world as Christina Aguilera.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She's from Wexford and Cranberry, that area right there. Okay. I only know that because I sent people to her house when I was on the radio in Pittsburgh trying to get her on the phone.
What a guy. How'd that work out for you?
It made for a great confrontation on the red carpet at the Grammys in front of all the cameras. That was pretty funny.
That's good. That's good for you. I mentioned last week that there was an effort to flood Georgia with people from around the country. Now the San Francisco Chronicle is pushing out the story that there are organized efforts to send tens of thousands from California to our friends north of us, the Peach State. Senate right now, 50 Republicans, 48 Democrats. So it's either going to be 52 to 48, 51 to 49, or 50-50. Let me do some simple math here for you. If it turns 50-50, guess who gets the tie-breaking vote if things stay as they are? Kamala Harris. She becomes the tie-breaking vote. Right now, 83% of, John Ossoff? 83% of his money is coming from outside Georgia. In the case of Raphael Warnock, 80% of his money is coming from outside Georgia. Georgians, it's up to you to have some measure of integrity. It's up to you. Just as a point of reference, if you try to vote in Georgia while visiting the state, you are facing up to 10 years in prison and a $100,000 fine. Here's the bad news. Here's the bad news. If Biden gets elected, he will commute all of that. He will pardon and commute all of that. Anybody that's caught up in this, he will say, we're not going to punish you for that. Just remember I said that. But the effort is underway to overtly cheat the system. Oh, it's legal, Preston. No, it's not. What is being engaged in is not legal. It isn't legal. Try again. Joe Biden already suggesting there should be immediate congressional action to forgive student loans. I got a little bit more to say on that. Coming up next, 40 minutes after the hour in the morning show.
There. I am good. I'm a happy example.
Glenn is on 9 to noon.
I am stronger every day.
On WFLA.
Okay, so Biden wants $10,000 of debt immediately erased. Elizabeth Warren, of course, is pushing for $50,000. She feels she's owed some concessions. But you know who's really backing this is the squad. The group of millennial brats.
What do you mean Elizabeth Warren is looking for money? From who?
No. She's owed this type of campaign promise being fulfilled because she believes in that and she believes that she helped Joe Biden win.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So she's owed from a policy perspective.
Yeah.
Joe Biden owes Bernie Sanders.
Well, that goes without saying.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting to me, though, is 59 members of Congress owe a total of about $2.4 million in college debt. Among them, the four, the squad. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Ilhan Omar owe between $15,000 and $50,000. Rashida Tlaib owes between $50,000 and $100,000. So, of course, they would like their debts to be forgiven. If you paid off your student loans and you grinded away, this should cause you to be absolutely blind with rage. You took all of that into account when you went to college and you did the math and you decided it was worth it for you to go and to pay off your loans over time. And you did. Now there's going to be a handful. Well, no, I'm happy for them. Huh, whatever. It's sideways thinking. Because all of us now are going to be expected to pay everybody's college debt moving forward. Yeah, whatever. This is something you're not going to hear much of. From the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, in cooperation with the Naval Medical Research Center. First, let me just stop there. Does that sound credible? Mount Sinai?
Yeah.
Naval Medical Research Center?
Yeah.
Published in the New England Journal of Medicine?
Totally legit.
It would seem. A study used 1,843 Marine volunteers and individuals well-trained to follow orders as well as required procedures. Quarantine took place at a Marine facility under the supervision of the military. Both factors meant that the volunteers were going to follow procedures much more correctly than the general public. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Complete close quarters, lockdowns, masks, social distancing, etc.
Mm-hmm.
No one could enter the study without undergoing 14 days of quarantine beforehand, plus a test to prove they were negative of COVID-19 at the start of the study. Study itself was held tightly controlled, quarantine campus run by the Marines, and guess what they found? Continuous use of masks, strict quarantine, tightly controlled social distancing did nothing to contain the spread of COVID-19 and might have, in fact, increased the spread. The study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, in fact, showed that the group of Marines that did not participate in the study, that was a control group, not under the same strict lockdown rules, saw fewer infections. The president, allegedly elect, wants a national lockdown. New England Journal of Medicine. Is that good enough for any of you? Probably not. Probably not.
That's dubious. Definitely dubious.
Sketchy. 46 minutes. You gotta laugh. You just have to. I have to put a laugh in my voice. Because in reality, blood is squirting out of my eyes. 46 minutes after the hour.
You don't have to love him, just like him. On Facebook at Preston Scott Show.
If you, yeah, I mean, we have a Facebook page. You can go there if you want. I don't really care. See, I don't, because I can't stand Facebook. But I have to have the page. It's a company thing. I have to have a page. So we have one, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. You could, my relationship with Facebook is soured greatly. Since they created an environment where I refuse to do Facebook Live, I'm not going to, just no. There may be something that comes along at some point where I'll do a Facebook Live thing just because we'll be off the air and I want to do something that I think warrants your attention, but that's not likely to happen very often. But I do have links to stories on the blog page. We do have an update on what's going on with the Samaritan's Purse effort raising funds. 2 days ago, the number was 8430. So we're over that, I'm sure. So we're under $1,500 away. So if you can help, that would be like tremendous. It wouldn't even be like tremendous. It would be tremendous. It would be outstanding if we could polish it off today. So let's make the effort to get to the $10,000 mark. And if we get past that, they'll dedicate the rest of the funds to the project. There'll be some ancillary things that I'm sure come up that we can help with inside the project itself. But we're going to get video reports. We're going to get a phone call when they start drilling. We'll get a phone call from... Hopefully we'll get a satellite call from Northwest Cambodia when they are about to complete the project and dedicate it, and then they'll be shooting video and sending it back to us. I just think it's so important. You're kind of letting me play dad here in that I just think it's important for us, as there's this constant noise around the election. And no, it's not official. Joe Biden, we're not even touching December yet. We don't have certified results yet. There are shenanigans going on with some certification. Did you hear what happened in Wayne County?
Mm-mm.
Two Republicans that were there saying, no, there's a discrepancy. There's a massive discrepancy here. They got threatened to the point that they finally said, screw it. I'm not risking my life and my family's life. They were threatened. Accused of being a racist, being threatened, and all of that stirred up by Gretchen Whitmer and Rashida Tlaib. And so, you know, I don't know how this is going to end up going, but all of those things raise tremendous concerns. However, I maintain that when this kind of thing is going on, first of all, it's not like you and I are going to do anything about it at this point. It has to play out in the court system, and then we go from there. Okay? So, with that said, I always believe that when you find yourself just imploding, it's good to do something for somebody else. When you redirect your attention onto other people and their needs and what's going on, and you'll find that theme on this show from now through the end of the year. We're going to redirect you. Not all the time. We're going to keep talking about the things that are in the news. We'll keep you abreast of what's happening. But I'm also going to keep giving you opportunities to do something to help others. And I know drilling a well in Northwest Cambodia didn't hit everybody's meter. That's fine. It's fine. There are other things that may not register with you either. Salvation Army got a couple things coming up, one in Panama City, one in Tallahassee. But if you can give and you haven't yet, or if you want to give more, we're asking for $20 minimum, but whatever you can do, whether it's $5 or $500. Doesn't matter. Let's just get it done today. Let's get to $10,000. I'd love to see something from Melissa at Samaritan's Purse. Said you did it. Can't believe it. In about 2 weeks. Crazy. Let's bless those people that we will never, ever meet on this side of eternity. And to anyone out there saying, well, it's just to proselytize. No, it's to meet needs. And if people happen to hear about Jesus, so be it. You doing something else? I've actually had that complaint. You doing something else to help those people? Okay. We come back. Bill Hurley, National Federation of Independent Businesses, joins us. And here we go. Hour number two of the morning show with Preston Scott. Back at it again. It is show 4365. That's Dallas Rogers. Over there in Studio 1A, I'm here in Studio 1B. Great to be with you this morning. Bill Zimpher at the bottom of the hour. Charlie Strickland next hour in our personal defense segment. But first, I am joined by Bill Hurley. He's joined me before on the program. Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, otherwise known as NFIB. So there you go. And Bill, how are you this morning?
Great. Good morning. It's a cool morning in Tallahassee.
It's a beautiful morning in Tallahassee. I am loving this time of year, Bill. A few weeks ago, I got to talking about some of the things that we can do inside the Sunshine State to, in fact, you could actually say that nationally, but certainly inside Florida, to help with health care issues. And one of them is tort reform. We never seem to get anywhere on it. Bill, explain first for listeners that don't know. It sounds like a pastry. What's tort?
Well, it's a injury that's caused to another party for which they seek compensation in our judicial system. But for us right now, it's a very urgent matter. You know, we've heard from every level of government about COVID, for better, for worse, however you like it. But we've heard from our federal government. We've heard from federal agencies. We have certainly heard from Governor DeSantis, who has been on this 24/7 from day one. But we've also heard from our school boards, from our county commissions, from our city governments, from every level of government. But we haven't seen any action whatsoever from the Florida legislature yet, who has not met in earnest since March. Not just so happens they came in, as they typically do, for an organizational session that happened yesterday. It's normally the event where there's a bunch of flowers and there's a lot of guests. And they get sworn in and they get committee assignments and room assignments and keys to the bathroom. But this year, obviously, it was very much subdued. You know, but the business of the state still waits. And they could have come into a special session, as the governor had demonstrated his desires some months ago to address some issues. But at this point, those are going to wait. But there is an urgent issue out there for the small business community, and that is they need to know that the state has their back.
Specifically, Bill, you're talking about, and while tort reform extends across so many lines and so many areas, are you specifically talking about tort reform as it relates to COVID-19?
Oh, yes. It's very much on small business owners' minds every day to get some protection from all the actions they necessarily have to take. They're being driven by COVID. You know, since March, business owners have been thrust into a role they didn't ask for,
right,
as some sort of quasi public health officer, making prudent decisions. Joe comes in and he says, someone in my household tested positive. Do you send Joe home? Do you ask Joe to continue working? Do you send home Joe's coworkers? Do you revamp your safety protocols? And how so? Every one of these decisions business owners are making. And behind all that, they have a grave concern of, what if someone doesn't like the decision I've made? And that can turn into litigation. And, you know, it's not just the worst case scenario. That is obviously the fear that somehow a person, a customer, an employee, a vendor, a third party asserts that they contracted COVID at your place of business. Every business owner can envision being held responsible for that. But beyond that, that's really just the tip of the iceberg. Beyond that, all of these small decisions that they're making in the public, in the interest of public health, can be challenged.
Hang on, Bill. We're going to pause right there. Got to take a break for weather and traffic. We're going to come right back. A few more minutes. Bill Hurley, Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Any business owner listening right now knows exactly what he's talking about. There's the specter of a lawsuit hanging over anything and everything that's going on right now relating to COVID. And the legislature can provide protection. Talking about that next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Chewing gum online, eh? I hope you brought enough for everybody.
On WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Bill Hurley with me, National Federation of Independent Business. And Bill, not only are businesses in the Sunshine State being hit with the prospect of having to revamp their payrolls due to the minimum wage that's been mandated upon them over the next several years, but this has been hanging over them since this pandemic began. What are you expecting the legislature to do? Do you have any friends in the House and Senate? Because it's been my experience that the legislature's made up of a bunch of attorneys, and they don't want to mess with tort.
Well, sometimes things break through to them, and we sense a strong will to address COVID liability protection for small businesses.
Okay.
Just having difficulty getting the urgency through to them, because you know you can't take away, you can't make this retroactive. Business owners will only be afforded this protection not a moment sooner than when the governor signs the bill. And so we're 9-10 months into this experience now, and businesses have made thousands of decisions that they're concerned that no one has their back. You know, everyone got a real taste of what it's like to have your neighborhood small businesses shuttered this year. And, you know, it was a good reminder that people like having choices and like having small business owners and local merchants available.
Of course.
It's been an extraordinarily tough year for small business. In addition to what you mentioned, the minimum wage going up, and it's about time that folks started standing up for small business. So we're trying to impress upon the legislature the urgency of this issue.
Who are the key lawmakers, Bill? Who are the ones that are going to ultimately make a decision? Are they committee chairs?
Well, we have very strong leadership structure in this state, and we have very strong leaders in Senator Simpson and in Speaker Sprouls. And we sense that they are very interested in addressing this. I just don't think they get the sense that it needs to be done as soon as possible.
Does that mean special session, that there needs to be some form of special session before the spring comes? Because I get the sense that's what you're maybe nudging towards.
We would certainly welcome it, and it's certainly available to them. The president and the speaker can call themselves into a session. The governor can do so. They can do so in tandem. There is a lot of the language that needs to be considered is available and can be vetted by all stakeholders. This is a package that is pretty close and ready to go. It just needs that time on the stage to be deliberated and put before the governor.
What would be the recommendation of your association, Bill? What does that look like in layman's terms, just real quickly?
Well, again, they need protection that unless they're taking egregious actions and exhibit reckless disregard for public safety, that they need protection that says if they have good intentions of making a decision that is driven by COVID and public health considerations, that they have some liability protections. But again, it's not just the obvious. It's not just what happens if someone says, you caused me to have COVID. It's all those hundreds of other decisions they're making every day on staffing, workplace conditions, safety measures they've taken in consideration of COVID that, let's say someone disagrees with them, and it can turn into a workplace discrimination suit that you're treating one employee differently based on their health condition. Or it can be even a whistleblower lawsuit that we didn't like how you enforced a mask standard in one direction or the other.
Right.
That an employee simply disagrees with, senses that they're being punished in some manner for their opinion not being listened to, and it turns into a whistleblower lawsuit. These are small garden variety lawsuits, but at $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a pop in demand letters that show up in your mailbox,
yeah,
it's something that could be the knockout blow for our local small businesses.
Bill, thanks for the time. I appreciate it bringing it to our attention.
Thank you.
All right, Bill Hurley with us with the National Federation of Independent Business on The Morning Show.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
Bill's in for just a few minutes away. 21 minutes after the hour, it is The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Good to have you with us this morning as we, We keep focus on the important things around here. It's called keeping your eye on the ball. And we are 13 days away from the national release of the McRib, ladies and gentlemen. 13 days before that tangy barbecue goodness is available in McDonald's restaurants. I know. McDonald's, well, at McDonald's nationwide. 13 days counted.
McRib Watch 2020.
Big story in the press box today. Californians, now add them to the list. They are preparing to descend on Georgia. San Francisco Chronicle writing reports that Democrats in the Golden State hounding political organizers with questions about how to move to Georgia and vote. I welcome all of you to be thrown in jail, hit with up to 10 years in prison and a $100,000 fine. Yes, come on. Please. Please. Because you can't vote in prison. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Now, this is bad. This is the type of stuff that happens in banana republics. It's bad enough we're dealing with a presidential race that has been tainted by illegal votes, illegal actions by postal workers, illegal actions by postal supervisors, illegal actions by supervisor of elections, illegal actions by state attorney general, illegal actions by Supreme Court justices, for example, in the state of Pennsylvania. This is horrific. But now the effort to just simply swamp the state of Georgia with a bunch of illiberal, whiny brats to sway the outcome of the Senate special elections in Georgia. Georgia should have had the forethought to change their rules on residency long before it was ever an issue. Those are the types of things. You don't wait for a crisis to deal with it. You go, you know, this is bad. This is a problem. We need to correct it. But it's underway. It's happening. Whether you want it to happen or not, Georgia, it's happening. And so it's up to you. I mean, the good news is that these fools, many of them actually think they can go check in to a hotel, book a block of rooms, and vote and leave. Give that a shot, see what happens. Here's the problem, though. There are likely enough supervisor of elections and election workers that'll look at forged documents or phony documents and look the other way. So, Joe Biden, the alleged president-elect. And isn't it interesting? Even a commentator on CNN said, and this is somebody that's like in with the crowd, said, you know, I don't remember Stacey Abrams being scorned for demanding recounts in her election in Georgia for governor. Why is what the president's asking for deemed evil? It's legal. It's okay. I wish he'd concede, but he's not doing anything more than Stacey Abrams did, and we lauded her for it. By the way, same thing happened with Hillary Clinton. Same thing happened with Joe Biden, you know, in the sense that, you know, Joe, it's all look the other way. Joe Biden wants immediate action on student loan forgiveness. Of course, there are 59 members of Congress that owe a total of $2.4 million. Yeah, they don't have an incentive to try and get this passed. How would you feel if that happened? If student loan debts were just wiped off the books? Do you think that the universities aren't going to get paid? Well, they got paid. They got paid when the loan got taken out. So who gets caught holding the bag on this one? Exactly. You and me. New study appearing in the New England Journal of Medicine. A very strict quarantine, tightly controlled social distancing, and continuous use of masks within the United States Marine Corps in a study proved that it did nothing to contain the spread of COVID-19 and, in fact, increased it. How many of you will know about that study other than listening to The Morning Show with Preston Scott? 27 minutes after the hour.
Air quickly and safely. Traffic and weather on the 10s. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
News team! Assemble!
And here we are back together again. Wednesday, November 18th on The Morning Show with Preston Scott, Dallas Rogers. For just a few more days. Over there in Studio 1A, I'm here in Studio 1B, and we are joined by national correspondent Bill Zimfer. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back, Preston.
Thank you very much. It'll be a short stay, but a couple days, then a few more days off, then a few more days, and a few more days off. But that's the way it goes this time of year, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm with you.
Hey, the president still staying. You know, say what anyone will about Donald Trump. While he's been president, he has been so good at multitasking. Dealing with whatever the drama and controversy is on one hand while going about his business as president of the United States on the other, and this is another example of it.
Oh, absolutely. The president not only concerned with his legal challenges of the election, but he's also doing some foreign policy things here. And one of the things that we have heard the president talk about for 4 years, really, is getting everybody out of Afghanistan, ending these endless wars. And he is taking a step in that direction with the acting defense secretary confirming yesterday that we'll have a drawdown of troops in Afghanistan from 4,500 to 2,500, drawdown in Iraq from 3,000 to 2,500, and we're pulling everybody out of Somalia that we have there. So this is something the president has wanted to do, and he says he wants it done by January 15th, which could be at a point where in the final few days in office for the president. Now, the question is, should the president be doing this knowing that his path, his legal path to retain the presidency is getting narrower and narrower? Is a decision that an outgoing president should make?
Well, I think that's a no-brainer for me. I mean, you're the commander-in-chief for 4 years at the very least, and you'd keep doing it. I'm curious, Bill, what is the reaction in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Somalia to these decisions?
Well, Afghanistan, it's interesting because the Afghan government was not informed about this in advance. And there is a concern there because let me just tell you some of the headlines I'm looking at coming out of Afghanistan today. District police chief killed in roadside bomb blast. 12 security force members killed in a province. Taliban attack kills 2 soldiers in Baghlan province. So this is still a very violent place. And I just have to look at the fact that this decision was made over the objections of the head of Central Command there in Florida and the commander on the ground in Afghanistan, who said this is not the time to draw down forces. In fact, it could limit American capability to assist Afghan forces and conduct counterterrorism operations and actually put our guys more at risk.
What's the response across the aisle?
Well, Mitch McConnell has been very critical of this, saying this is a move that is worse than what Barack Obama did in 2011, pulling out of Iraq and opening the door for ISIS. And speaking of Iraq, you asked about the reaction in Iraq as well. Well, coincidentally, about an hour after this announcement was made yesterday by the acting defense secretary, 4 rockets were fired into the green zone where the embassies are. So that maybe was a statement in response by Iranian forces that continue to operate out of Iraq.
Bill, as always, appreciate the updates. Thanks so much for catching us up. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay. Talk to you then, Preston.
Thank you, sir. Bill Zimfer with us this morning. On the morning show with Preston Scott, we come back. Got a giant paperclip of things here. I refer to that as the stack. We'll get to that. Update you on Operation Thanksgiving. And preview the third hour of the program. All that and more coming up, including an interesting announcement by Tucker Carlson. That's next as well on the morning show with Preston Scott.
Show with Preston Scott.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription... it's more cowbell.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Okay, lots to talk about. And, you know, the future of Tucker Carlson at Fox was certainly a subject of conjecture by me. And I'm not changing my opinion on that. I'm not sold that Tucker Carlson is long for the world of Fox News. Fox is going to maybe do everything possible to keep him happy because they're hemorrhaging viewers. I use that term. They are. I know this. I absolutely know this. Do I think they'll surrender their lead in cable news? No, I don't. They will surrender how much they lead it by. Viewers are seeking other outlets for their news. And that just is the way it is. But Tucker Carlson hit it head on.
Before we get to the next segment, a quick note about this show. Over the weekend, we got a lot of calls asking if we're leaving Fox News. Ironically, at that very moment, we are working on a project to expand the amount of reporting and analysis we do in this hour across other parts of the company. This show is not going anywhere. It's getting bigger. The people who run Fox News want more of it, not less, and we are grateful for that. We'll have specifics soon. But as always, thank you for your trust in us. We'll do our best to be worthy of it.
There you go. Okay. I absolutely believe him. I also believe that what's going on is there are some moments that, you know, they get described in different ways. They're kind of oh bleep moments. And Fox is going to do everything it possibly can to keep you around. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I, on the other hand, am not so, shall we say, optimistic about keeping all of those people around.
I don't see how you can. They've almost flipped positions overnight. I mean, it's and what's weird about it is that we're talking about a news organization flipping their position on their stance on anything.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the fact that that is a topic of conversation is scary in and of itself. But the scarier part is, overnight, they flipped. It was like from one broadcast one day to the next broadcast the other. That's what it felt like.
Well, yes and no. Let's go back to conversations you and I have talked about where we've listened to the Fox News at the top and bottom of the hour and gone, huh? It just seemed remarkably slanted, not objective. Just do the news. Leave your, you know, you should leave us guessing as to what you think as a reporter. But increasingly over the last few years, and I've talked about it on the show and others have talked about it, it has been the subject of columns. the news reporting has moved away from objectivity. Mm-hmm. I don't care what hosts say. I don't care. Anchors, that's another thing. Anchors are news reporters. Hosts are opinion driven. I'm a host. I'm not an anchor. I'm a host. I'm not a news reporter. That's not what I do. Maybe less than five times in going on 20 years now have I done any kind of breaking news on this story. Seldom has it come from me. It's come from others that have chosen to use this platform to break their news. That's not what we do. We hold up a mirror and we reflect what's out there and talk about it. And with regard to Fox, I've seen this shift coming. It was just blatant on election night with Arizona and Florida and Texas. I'll point out that calling Florida, you could argue, could have impacted votes in Arizona as people were standing in line hearing that their state was called. They didn't call the one that there was a 4 or 5 point margin, but they called the one that there wasn't before the polls even closed? Huh? Fox just killed its credibility.
Yeah.
And so we go from there. Operation Thanksgiving, we're just over $8,500. And so we're $1,500 away. If you haven't given and can give, let's get it to $10,000 today. Let's do it. Go to SamaritansPurse.org/WFLA.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
On WFLA.
And I'm even wearing camo today.
How about, sorry, I missed that.
How about that? Charlie Strickland with me. Personal defense segment here on the morning show with Preston Scott. Pepper spray. Are there different kinds of pepper sprays that are more effective than others? And what about the gels and the different ways of delivering it?
Okay. Well, first off, I remember when I'm dating myself. I remember when I was in the police academy and they first came to us and said, we've got the newest, greatest thing to ever hit the world of corrections and law enforcement. We have this thing called pepper spray, and it stops people in their tracks and it doesn't hurt them and da-da-da-da-da. And then over the years, they made us get sprayed with it. And it does, in fact, irritate me to a very great degree, but it is an irritant and it irritates the fire out of people. About 40 to 50, maybe 60% of the population, it has some effect on. But if you've watched all of the protests and all of the upheaval and craziness going on in the world in the United States today, and you've seen how many people were pepper sprayed, and it was just floating around them in a fog, and they kept on doing what they were doing. That gives you some idea to the effectiveness of pepper spray as a whole. Now, where it works is you spray it directly in somebody's eyes and nose, right there in the middle of their face. Anywhere else doesn't work. A passing fog of it's not going to do much except make your eyes water a little bit. For it to be effective, it needs to be in the eyes and in the nose and the mucous membranes. And it does cause swelling, and it does cause irritation, and it will cause a normal person who's not on drugs and is affected by it to involuntarily close their eyes. It sucks, I'm telling you. But a motivated criminal who's on drugs, maybe not, probably not. It doesn't really do much to JD. It does affect me. We're just different people, obviously. And so if you're going to have pepper spray, because it is a good tool, it's leverage, it's another tool in the toolbox. The gel sticks and the foam sticks, and it does affect the eyes better, and it does stay. However, it doesn't have the respiratory effect that the aerosols have, the alcohol base, which is flammable, by the way. So a cigarette lighter and pepper spray would work really well to not only, deter them, but also remove unwanted facial hair on the bad guy. James Bond did it. It worked great for him. No, really, don't do that. But the alcohol-based stuff is flammable. Most of the stuff you buy now is not. We had a problem with tasers and pepper spray at one point because there were you know, we don't carry flammable pepper spray.
So which is the better, the smarter carry for most people?
By what they call a stream. The stream shoots further. You know, of course, you have to spray it in the face, so you're actually having to aim this stuff. And we do like a Zorro kind of deal, across the forehead, back across the face, and across the chin to get it on the face. You're kind of doing a Z or an S in their face to get it where it needs to be. The stream will fire further. Stay away from the little keychain type devices that have the little leather pouches with the little snap over thing that you snap off and then you twist it. Those things are terrible. There's not enough in there to go maybe 3 feet. Anything's better than nothing. Make sure you know how to turn it off. I like the flip top containers. That's what law enforcement carries, where there's got a little spring loaded flip top to keep you from pressing it on top.
Right.
But you can reach your thumb inside of it. And you can't fire it in the wrong direction, which has happened. I could tell you stories about pepper spray and accidents, just on and on and on. By the stream, you can get up to about a 2 ounce one without a problem. Carry it. You don't have to have a permit to carry it openly or concealed. So you can have it in your hand walking around, or you can stick it in your pocket. Obviously, they're not going to let you in places like the courthouse with it. But, be careful deploying that in places where there are people with respiratory issues like hospitals and whatnot.
Hang on, Charlie. We're going to pick up there. We're going to talk about tasers as well as some developments on concealed carry permits on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Justice and the American way. Like Superman, only with a microphone. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Bum. 52 minutes after the hour of The Morning Show, Charlie Strickland. In just a few minutes, we got a lot of things to talk about with Charlie this morning. So stay with us in our personal defense segment. Big story in the press box. Let me invert this a little bit. I want to spend a little more time on this. If you pay attention, credible sources matter. For example, if the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, in cooperation with the Naval Medical Research Center, publishes a research study in the New England Journal of Medicine, I think we can assume that it's credible. Last time I checked, the New England Journal of Medicine pretty well vets the things that appear in its journal, in its publication. It's a study of 1,843 Marine volunteers, individuals well-trained to follow orders, required procedures. The quarantine took place at a Marine facility under the supervision of the military. That means that the volunteers were going to follow procedures much more correctly than the general public. Would you agree with that? These are Marines on a Marine base being told what to do and being observed doing it. I think that trumps you being asked by your doctor or by local county health representatives to do X, Y, and Z. I think we can safely say, well, we know they're following protocol. For example, Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan is just beside herself because COVID's getting worse. And yet her state is one of the most restricted in all the country. How's it getting worse there, Gretchen? And then lastly, and listen, this is important. No one Marine could enter the study without undergoing 14 days of quarantine and a test to prove they were COVID negative. So all 1,843 Marines were quarantined for 14 days and had a negative COVID test before ever beginning the study. I'm no medical expert, but I would call that a controlled control group. I would go control to the second power on this one.
Control squared.
Yes. And what did they find out? They found out that strict quarantine, tightly controlled social distancing, and continuous use of masks did nothing to contain the spread of COVID-19. In fact, it may have increased it. Ironically, there was another control group. This control group of Marines did none of it. They weren't involved in that study with those controls. They were not under the same strict lockdown rules. But they saw fewer infections. As I'm wont to say, I am not the sharpest knife in any drawer. However, I do remember discussions on this program in March suggesting we are delaying the inevitable with all of these controls and that the virus will do what the virus will do. Time for news. Okay, 5 minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott. How are you? Good to be with you this morning. Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B. And joining me on the phone line is our personal defense guru. He is Charlie Strickland, co-host of Talent Outdoors and co-founder of the Talent Training Group. Charlie, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic this morning. I'm trying to get myself relocated to Tallahassee this morning and taking my time.
Oh, I got it. Do you like this time of year when the weather cools down?
It is crazy. I love it. It's peanut picking time. A little past it now. People are running a little behind. It's hunting season. It's oyster season. It's just, you know, I just pulled out of my yard. It's a picked over peanut field. There's doves flying in it. I've got a bag of oysters in the back of the truck, and I could go on. But yeah, this is my favorite time of year. Especially if it could be better if FSU like would win some ball games or something, it would be perfect. But you know, those days are like, you know,
they're coming again soon. Just maybe not as soon as we want.
Yeah, it'll be back.
Charlie,
anyway, yeah.
Let's talk about a couple things that may or may not be on people's Christmas list, but maybe ought to be on people's Christmas list for someone they love. Let's start with a good old-fashioned flashlight. It seems like you can't turn on TV without Bell or some tactical group pushing out a flashlight, but let's talk about flashlights. How valuable are they?
Well, in the personal defense / police, military, whatever world, flashlights are absolutely invaluable. And flashlight technology has come so far. I remember when the Surefire lights first came out, and that was the big brand. It's a little overpriced for what it is, but you know, that was a part of laser technologies was the SWAT gun mounted light. So it's come, it's now LED technology is advanced. I mean, we've got them in our homes now. I mean, so handheld flashlights that hold up for a while that are super, super bright are an absolute must, because you may have to search your home at night. You may change a tire on your vehicle. you hear a noise outside, shining a flashlight outside, a really bright flashlight. You know, I've always compared bad guys to roaches. When the light shines, they run. I mean, because they don't want to be seen. It's a great deterrent. If you're walking across a parking lot with a flashlight in your hand going to your car because you left the shopping center, the mall, late at night, you know, the fact that you're shining a light puts doubt in the bad guy's mind. If nothing else, you shine it in their face. It blinds them momentarily, and then you, if you're holding it in your hand properly, you can crash that thing down across their forehead and definitely make a difference, if not a big old knot. I mean, so getting a good tactical flashlight, the ones they used to, the only ones you get were the CR123 batteries, which are kind of expensive, although I know where you can get them a little cheaper. But they've got them now that'll double A's, triple A's, all the way up to, if you even go into Lowe's, you can buy decent flashlights at the checkout line that actually work pretty well, a little bulky. But, we carry them. I mean, any good gun store in town is going to carry a good flashlight. But get a good tactical light. Don't go get one of those plastic D-cell, pieces of junk.
Charlie, do you want one that has the feature that you press it once, it lights up, you press it again, it goes strobe?
That was all the rage when it came out, Preston.
But does it disorient anybody?
I remember going to the SHOT Show. No, I remember going to the SHOT Show, and they took us in a tent out in Vegas, and it was dark, and we got a little nervous. We went in this dark tent in Vegas, and they said, okay, now look at this light. And they shined the light in our face, and they made it strobe. And I said, doesn't that disorient you? And I said, well, being in a dark tent with a bright light in my face does, but the fact that it's strobing does nothing. I guess if I was prone to seizures, maybe the proper way to strobe is not flash, 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 flash automatically. There's a technique that goes into low light training that with more time I could explain it, but it's a gimmick.
All right. Charlie Strickland with me. We'll pick up right there. We'll talk about the effectiveness of pepper spray and tasers next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott with Charlie Strickland.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
An iHeart radio station.
At least twice a month, sometimes three times a month, Charlie Strickland joins me here on the program in our personal defense segment. You can listen each weekend to Talon Outdoors with Charlie and JD, and of course, Charlie Strickland with us this morning. Charlie, we've got to be remarkably disciplined here because I've got a question from a listener that I'll start with because it really serves as a segue to tasers. Question is about your thoughts on the Byrna HD kits, which is basically an air-launched kind of chemical irritant that comes in a round ball. Your thoughts?
Those are better known as pepper balls, if I don't miss my guy. I haven't heard that particular name brand, but there are pepper balls that law enforcement uses. It's got to be similar to that, where it's encapsulated pepper powder, and you fire it, and it strikes the intended target. It breaks open, and a poof of white capsaicin powder then gets in their face, their eyes, and has a respiratory effect. Law enforcement uses that in quantity when needed to disperse crowds. There again, it is somewhat effective on fairly compliant people. It is not going to deter a motivated, angry, or intoxicated under the influence bad guy. So there again, nothing beats a bullet. But when you step down from that, obviously that is a longer range item. And it does, in fact, have its benefits, but it's mostly used to disperse a bunch of college kids that won't leave a bar parking lot, if that tells you, anything.
Charlie, does something like that, do you know if in the state of Florida there is any kind of special permitting required for carrying something like that? Because it does resemble a pistol. It does resemble a firearm.
But it is not a firearm.
That's true.
And since it's not a firearm and it doesn't use a a propellant, an explosive propellant to propel that. And it's not a firearm. And without reading that specifically, for time's sake, I'd say it probably does not need a permit.
What about
simply because?
What about tasers?
Tasers don't need permits either, as long as it doesn't fire a cartridge more than 16 feet. Most of them are the Taser Internationals. Civilian tasers are designed to fire 15 feet so that they stay within the legal limit for any manufacturing variances, just in case. They do fire a projectile, which is propelled by the compressed nitrogen gas. And there's a barb on the end of it. It's a straightened fish hook. The fish hook, it sticks in the clothing, sticks in the skin. I know, I've had them stuck in me several times. And they're connected to the taser by wire, which then there's 50,000 volts that goes through the wire. It only transmits about 5,000 volts through the body. But let me tell you, it works. Now, there again, it's all about shot placement. If you get an adequate spread with the probes and good contact, you know, within a couple inches of the skin, loose clothing could cause problems. Wintertime is less effective than summer because of the way people dress.
Sure.
You know, it can achieve neuromuscular incapacitation, which means that it locks the body up and that person is there for the count. Civilian tasers tend to cycle for 30 seconds. And can be cycled as long as you want to hold the button down. Law enforcement tasers are about 5 seconds and then stop until they go back and hold the button down or hit them again. The civilian tasers are designed to give you a window of opportunity to get away. So you hit them with a taser, throw the taser down, get away. Taser International will take a copy of your police report, send you a new taser. And you should always file a police report whenever you use any force in defense of yourself. Now,
Charlie,
the problem with tasers is one shot.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah, one shot. And if you miss, all you have is a touch stun device, which has to make contact with the body at that point. And, you know, you can buy touch stun tasers in gimmick shops and in the flea market and wherever else, and they basically are just like a cattle prod. And they're good for messing with your buddy, but they're not very much good for actually defending yourself.
Let's real quickly in the final minute here, Leon County Tax Collector's Office taking appointments, Regional Office, Florida Department of Agriculture. What's the update there?
Well, I went online last night in the wee hours and pulled up Leon County Tax Collector's Office and found that the Metropolitan Center up at I-10 at the flyover was taking appointments. I had to reach out into December to find dates, but they are taking appointments for concealed weapons permits applications, original applications. I assume, and I may be wrong, but I would assume that means they're doing the fingerprinting too. And the regional office is open again on the Department of Agriculture's Division of Licensing website. And I would also assume that since they're taking appointments that they would be doing the fingerprinting. But if so, the point is this, call to check before you do any of that. But if you're out there waiting to go get a concealed weapons permit because you can't get fingerprinting, now's the time to call and see. And if you can't get in one of those places, I know the smaller counties, I know and for a fact in Mariana, the driver's license office out on the west side of town is doing fingerprinting in the whole nine yards.
Got it.
So there's places to get it done. Don't wait. Call around. But I did see where they're taking appointments, so I have to assume that means they're doing all of it. But, you know what they say about assumptions.
Charlie, thanks for the time, brother. Be well.
See you later.
All right. Charlie Strickland with us from the Talent Training Group.
Listen to your opinions and tell you you're wrong. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
36 minutes after the hour of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Great to be with you this morning. I don't think I would be overshooting by saying Florida State University now has the preeminent women's soccer program in America. He'll never say it. That's why I'm going to say it for him. Mark Krikorian, the head coach, joins me. Hey, Coach.
Well, good morning, Preston. Very kind of you, and it's always great to share time with you.
Mark, you guys did it again. let's see now. You negotiated the toughest conference in women's soccer undefeated. You played the number 4 ranked team in the country in the semifinals. We'll get to that game in a second. And then you beat the number 2 ranked team undefeated in the nation in the finals. Congratulations on another ACC title, Coach.
Thank you. Boy, I'll tell you, we've had a really good team and a mature team and an older team. So all of the pieces in this crazy 2020, all of the pieces fell together perfectly for our team through the fall. And, you know, we had a very good run of it. It's been fun.
How unsatisfying is it that you don't get to take this team into a national tournament to test them against everybody?
Yeah, it's disappointing, but I think that all of us have an understanding that in this pandemic time that life is a little bit different right now. And, you know, honestly, we are thankful that we had a chance to have the season that we had and have the games we did and have the competition we did. And, you know, the NCAA has come out and said that there will be a national championship in the spring. And all of our kids, I think, are going to come back, and hopefully we'll have a chance to go. But it certainly would have been nice with the momentum that we had to go right into an NCAA tournament and try our luck against some of the other schools from around the country.
Coach, I watched, it might have been the final regular season game, I'm not sure, against Duke, that you prevailed in the final 13 seconds of the match, 1-0. First, let's talk about prevailing in that match and how you won that one.
Yeah, I thought that through the course of the game we were pretty good and we had some good chances at goal, but weren't quite precise enough. But then we got a corner kick at the end of the game, and Yuzhi Zhao served it in, and Emily Madrill flicked it on, and Jalen Howell was there to make a quick turn and strike and give us a victory with 12-13 seconds left.
As an observer, the one thing I've noticed about your team this year, Mark, is that there's just something different in set pieces. You're scoring on set pieces, to me, at a higher rate than what I normally watch. Am I mistaken in that? Did you do some adjusting? What's different?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. You know, we all know that with a set piece, the biggest element is to be able to deliver the ball in the right area. And I think that between Leilani Nesbitt and Yuzhi Zhao and Jenna Neiswanger, the quality and the consistency of their serves has gotten better and better and better. When you know where the ball is going, it's a little bit easier to get on the end of it. You know, when you're missing the target by 10 yards, it's hard to get on the end. And I think the quality of their serve has just been fantastic. And that's allowed Jalen and Clara and some of the other kids that have been on the end of it a chance to score the goals.
Mark Krikorian with me for another few minutes. When we come back, Mark, stand by. Quick check of weather and traffic. The ACC champions again undefeated in the regular season and ACC tournament. A remarkable run. We'll talk about the semifinals and finals next, as well as a couple other things with head coach Mark Krikorian from Florida State on The Morning Show.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
60% of the time, it works every time.
On WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, Mark Krikorian, head soccer coach, Florida State University. He has built methodically, I think, the best women's program in the country, and I think the evidence is borne out with titles and consistency in the NCAA tournament, consistency in the ACC, and the ACC tournament, just finishing off their fall season with an ACC title and unbeaten run. And, Coach, you end up facing Duke again. And you're playing up in North Carolina, as it usually is the case, the ACC tournament. This time, though, the result was 4-0 and 3-0 in the second half. What was the difference in that game versus the time you faced Duke just a few days before?
Well, honestly, I think that credit to Duke in that game up in Carolina. The score wasn't really reflective of the game. They played us tougher than 4-0, but our quality in the penalty box was really good. And in the first half, we had a lot of the ball and made them work. And maybe they fatigued a little bit in the second half, and the game opened up a little bit more for us as the game went on. And again, finishing corner kicks, set pieces, as you talked about, and just the quality in front of the goal was good.
in the final, you're playing North Carolina. No surprise. Anson Dorrance, really, I think anyone in the game of soccer knows his name and knows what he has done. I would credit Anson's development at North Carolina with what happened with the U.S. women's national team, Mark. I don't know if I'm mistaken in giving him that credit, but I have great respect for what he developed at North Carolina and what he still has there. But the bottom line is, you guys came out and what, it was 2-0 in the first 5 minutes?
Yeah. And to your point, Preston, I got all the respect in the world for Anson. I mean, he's been a pioneer of women's sport, more so than just soccer, but women's sport, and the trends and patterns of excellence that they've established at Carolina has set a great standard for all of us to try and reach. So, I'm in the fan club and respect all of the work that he and his university have put together over the years. But on Sunday, it was a great start for us. We came out, scored 2 goals in the first 5 minutes or so, and established a good tempo, and we were very good in the first half. I thought our soccer was as good as it gets, and then came out in the second half and scored a goal in the first minute or so. And then I thought that they gained some life back and made it more difficult for us, and we were able in the end to hold on to victory.
Coach, one of the things that the commentators, Julie Foudy and Jen Hildreth, I think it is, that this play-by-play mentioned was the international roster that you acquired. You've got, I think, 8 kids from different countries around the world outside of America. What makes that work? Are you recruiting kids that you know can fit into the style? How do you know they're going to blend, though, when they come from such a diverse background?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, when you take a player like Yuzhi Zhao from China, my wife and my kids and I all had a chance to go to Asia last summer and fully gain a greater appreciation for how different it really is. And, you know, when you take a kid like Yuzhi, or you're taking a kid from somewhere in Europe or other parts of the world, you know there's going to be some adjustment. We have a young Japanese player this year, Ron Iwai, who's come in, and you know, the language is so different, the food is different, the smell is different, everything, the school, the studying in English, all of those elements are really different. So it is a little bit of a challenge, but, you know, we've built such a great support network here at Florida State for these kids. And, you know, it starts with our academic advisor, Kathy Badger. She just does a great job of helping the kids to get in the right spots academically, and then the tutors that are prepared to help them. And, you know, my international staff, they do a great job. And my director of ops, Nathan Minion, taking care of all of the smaller details that have to happen with, you know, things you don't think about, driver's licenses and social security numbers and all of these other elements that are really important that we take and take care of with them, and then helping them assimilate. And of course, their American teammates and the rest of our technical staff recognize that it's difficult for these kids and it's a long way from home. But I think a lot of time and concern go into it. And, you know, we know they're talented. They wouldn't be coming here if they weren't talented. But those other elements are really important to make them comfortable.
Mark, congratulations. Great season. We'll talk again in the spring. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for your time and your support.
Thank you, sir. Mark Krikorian, head coach, FSU Women's Soccer, with me on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Yowzers, what a day. Where'd it go? Woof.
Right?
And there was nothing like real earth-shattering today that would cause you to... You know, sometimes what happens, the show moves fast when you have a story that's just encompassing. And so your mind is just racing and you're hearing all these things about that story and time's gone. Not today. Today was just a lot of different things that, as I look back, I think, wow, that was pretty good. Not bad. 4,365 shows it took, but not bad. Did one show well. I did one. This one wasn't bad. I'm getting the hang of it. That's good. Oh, my gosh. Tomorrow we'll try it again, but you should know Operation Thanksgiving. And I want to draw this to a close because there are other things coming on the calendar. And oh, by the way, there was a little, I shared the story in the news about a car hitting a girl walking in the median in our neighborhood subdivision last week, maybe it was. My wife and I were in our backyard and we heard the ambulances and we were like, what in the world? I don't know these young ladies, but I know their aunt. There were two sisters walking. A car, not paying attention, leaves the road. My guess is someone was texting.
Yeah.
6:30, not late at night or anything like that. Left the road and hit this little girl. It's a little girl. And she's in a coma. And I don't know the prognosis, but they're raising money for two reasons. They're raising money to create a reward to find the person that drove away from the scene, that left the scene.
So the people that hit her
left the scene, fled. So they want to create a reward fund, and then they want to create some extra money to help the family with medical expenses that'll come up because this precious little girl is fighting. So, I've got it on the Facebook page if you can do something to help. I say that because I want to wrap up this Operation Thanksgiving. Let's get it done. We're $1,500 or less away from raising the 10 grand to drill the well in Northwest Cambodia. And I've always pledged that when I have the opportunity to use this platform to help people, I'm going to do it. And there are people that have needs. And there are other things that are coming up. Salvation Army needs some help with some things. And we've got Operation Spirit of Christmas coming up. And I've got a note here from Ron Sachs. He's got something in mind that he wants to talk about. And so I want to do everything I can to help people. But I can't commit to other things till I finish. But I do have this GoFundMe page up for this family. And so it's been vetted and verified. You can go there, all right? It's on the Facebook page, and so please help. Morning show 180. Look at the program, 180 seconds or less. I'm holding on to this story because you haven't heard a thing about it. Published study, New England Journal of Medicine, strict quarantine, tightly controlled social distancing, continuous mask use, did not contain the spread of COVID-19 in a study of 1,843 Marines. And in fact, it might have made it worse. Because the group that didn't do any of that, that's in the control, had fewer infections. You heard about that story? Mm-hmm. They're preparing to descend on Georgia. Georgians, stop them at the border. The governor needs to stop people at the border, at the airport. Coming in. What are you coming here for? I'm serious. Papers? I don't care. We need to stop this. Nip it in the bud. I'm all about a little bud nipping. We'll do it again tomorrow. Glenn Beck is up next. Thanks for listening.